It's everything I have. Good morning. I'd like to call the special meeting of council September 4th, 2018 to order at 8:35 p.m. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Vicki, please call the roll.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
Vice President John Pleshnik.
Present.
President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hollum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
And Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present. We need to change the agenda a little bit because people need to get to work. And so we will do our correspondence first to address the mayor vetoing ordinance 2018-41. And then certainly we'll have every opportunity for people to speak during public portion after that. So council members can get to work.
Madam President.
Vice President Pleshnik.
After due consideration, I make a motion to override the mayor's veto of ordinance number 2018-41.
Second.
I have a motion from Vice President Pleshnik and a second from Councilwoman Pismo to override the mayor's veto of ordinance number 2018-41. Is there any discussion on this motion?
Madam President.
Oh, go ahead. I'll yield to Dave.
Councilman Phoebe.
Madam President, thank you. I haven't had the opportunity to weigh in on this since council was in recess, or technically still is in recess. The mayor, in his words, brought up some points that I do happen to agree with, that the process is important, and I have always been an advocate of open government, of slow, deliberative processes, and putting this on the ballot prior to that process and the manner that it was done just goes too far. Bad government closes processes, benefits few, and it's exclusive. Good government's open, it's transparent, it has buy-in from the stakeholders, it has much discussion, much debate, and these nine amendments had none of that. So for that reason, I will not be in favor of overriding the veto. In my opinion, our council is is bound to let the citizens know that we've done our work, and we've done it in a good fashion. We've done it following the law. We've done it deliberatively. We've done it slowly. We've done it carefully. We have followed not only the laws, but the intent of those laws. And in putting something on the ballot in a haphazard way jeopardizes the reputation of our city, which has a serious effect to our duty as fiduciary agents of this city.
Thank you, Mr. Fiebig. Councilman Hallam.
Madam President, I had one other point, and I'd move to extend my comments for 30 more seconds. In my opinion, the use of this would be for council amendments, would be for things like internal things, like we need to expedite the hiring process for part-time firefighters, for example, like Willowick did. And that was a good use, and they put an amendment on the ballot after full, thorough discussion. But to change the power structure of our city without a full deliberative debate, in my opinion, is it's a haphazard way to do this. We should be slow, thoughtful, deliberate, and inclusive. So I will not be in favor of moving forward with this. Thank you for your understanding.
Thank you. Councilman Hallam.
Thank you. I echo Mr. Fiebig's concerns, as everyone I'm sure knows. My concerns are that this, as I read through the amendments, and I've had some time to do that now, it just seems that the changes were an attempt to make some of the things that were judged illegal by a court earlier this year to be legal. That's just my perspective on it. It also seems to, along those lines, eliminate the legal recourse that the mayor and anybody might have with regard to, you know, maybe council doing something that is viewed as illegal or against our charter, to let the judge, to let a court decide whether, in fact, it is or not, as opposed to public opinion. And, you know, there's been some implications within the language of these charter amendments, indicating that it's for to improve the balance of government. But as I read these things, it's anything but balancing power. It's quite the opposite. In fact, it's making it so that the administration can basically do nothing without the approval of council, which hamstrings, in my opinion, the administration doing their job. And the amendments effectively are changing our form of government, which is no small thing. And that kind of goes along with what Councilman Fiebig said, which is that I think that our residents have a right to understand before these are brought to a ballot, before these are created as amendments, how this came to be, why these are truly necessary, not after the fact, not after we've already put these on the ballot, not after we've created these things, but before that. And quite frankly, this type of change, these types of changes, I do believe should have been put into a charter review commission where it's a group of our residents who are reviewing this and making these determinations that are going to govern them as a people, and not coming from council, who is certainly not going to have necessarily the same perspective as a group of residents might have, as well as with the public hearings, public portions. I know in the last charter review they had public portions at the beginning and the end of the meetings, so people had an ample amount of opportunity to speak their minds, give their impressions, give their opinions on how we might improve our charter, and their concerns also with, however, the charter currently read.
Thank you, Mr. Hallam. We need to move on. We can discuss further. People need to get to work. I asked that from the beginning. I would appreciate if you could give that consideration to them. We can continue the discussion.
I would have appreciated this council give everybody the consideration to have proper meetings ahead of time.
We can discuss that as well.
After you push us through.
Point of order, Madam President.
I've asked for consideration so people could get to work and we would have all the time we need to discuss it.
So you're not going to take a vote today?
Yes, we will take a vote today.
So you're not.
As long as there's a motion, we'll take a vote.
Well, I'm sure you
and there is that. A motion and there's a second.
Yes. Well, Madam President, if I may, I mean, you called this meeting with 24 hours notice at 8:30 in the morning, knowing full well that people had work to do.
Well, then don't be considerate of your council members. That's fine by me.
Madam President.
Well, I'm going to be considerate of the residents.
Madam President, the charter.
No
Madam
thing.
President.
Councilwoman.
The charter has three ways for amendments to go on the ballot. One of them is approval of 5 members of council. If that in and of itself is a problem, which is what seems to be the argument, that is indication of some sort of bad intent on the part of council, why is it in the charter? At what point is it okay to exercise council's legislative authority without it being seen as some sort of, nefarious intent? This was considered in a committee. Everyone had the opportunity to discuss it at that time.
Not true.
Yes, it was true.
Yeah.
You could
point
have come,
order,
and if
Madam
you didn't want
President.
To come.
Don't be speaking out of order, please.
You had the opportunity to be there and to weigh in. Yes, you did. And you also had the opportunity to come to the special council meeting, which was called in the legally necessary notice. You could have called your fellow council members to voice your concerns if you couldn't make it. It's just about putting this on the ballot. There's going to be, as far as I'm aware, and I believe this is true, 4 town hall meetings between now and the election day to discuss these. And if it, every single resident, including every one of us, has the opportunity to vote at that time too. And if we don't approve of them, we have the right to vote no on them at that time. So there is absolutely nothing. There is no bad intent in doing this. Every one of these amendments is reasonable and commonsensical, and it's in response to the 2 lawsuits brought by our mayor the chief executive of our city against the city, which is related to the ambiguities that are in the charter, and especially with some of these provisions. And the other ones, like the appointment of immediate family members to positions in the city, is just, that is just something that is, it makes sense to anyone. I mean, who thinks it should be okay to for city officials to be able to appoint their family members to jobs and offices in the city? I mean, that's just common sense. So I take issue with this idea that this was done in any way other than in good faith, and I think that it's about giving the voters a right to decide. And as our council president said, we need to move on, and we need to take this vote so that our one of our members in particular can get to work. So, Madam President, I make a motion to call the question.
Madam President, you have the authority to just call it yourself.
See how leadership does all that.
I'm just saying it would be faster. But, you
know. Madam President, I have a brief comment, if you would allow it.
Councilwoman Micah.
I would just like to say that this is about a timeline. If we had a timeline of events that have happened in this council for the past year and a half, 2 years, it would be very obvious, and I may do that for our town hall, create a timeline that would explain how some of these amendments are in response to things that have happened, and they are a house cleaning type of thing. Councilman Hallam, with all due respect, you had the opportunity at our last council meeting to have a very robust discussion about these. And if I had something that I was very passionate about and I wanted everybody's attention, I would self-control myself and I would be a good girl and I would not speak out of order and I would follow all the rules. But you have not done that. And your snarky attitude right now is part of this whole thing, why you feel you're persecuted and cut off, because you just need to simmer down and be respectful and conduct yourself in a mature discussion. I did not want the question called. I was disappointed that it was called our last council meeting because I had a lot to say too, and I'm sure others did too. But in response, just to make the record clear, when you go complaining about how you were shut down, it was because you were out of order. And if you hadn't gotten out of order, we would have had a much longer discussion. And you're wanting to do that again right now, and you're passionate about it, and you have a different opinion, and that's fine. But do it in the right way. Just discuss things and make your point, and then you'll be heard.
Well, I would like to respond to that. Because if you listen to the tape again...
Which I did.
Good. Then you'll see that I was asking questions that were not getting answers. And because no one liked the questions that were being asked, they were hard questions to answer, then I was shut down. And then, yes, I felt it was necessary for me to speak out of order if necessary to get the points out that I needed to get out. So it's sad that this council decided that it was not good for me to voice opinions and to ask questions with regard to such a major change to our charter and decided to shut me down. So I think if anybody who has an ear for this and listens to the audio can see that I was just asking questions, and there was no disrespect at that time. There was no out of order. I was asking questions, and people were not giving straightforward answers. I was getting beating around the bush. I was getting answers that did not answer my question. I was getting answers from people who I did not ask questions to. And finally, then after I was told that this was the place to voice my concerns and bring my recommendations, immediately after those comments were made, the question was called.
Right.
That's right.
That was in response to
some
ruckus that was going on. There was a little bit of ruckus going on your part. And once again, this is why we have Robert's Rules to guide us through meetings when everybody knows full well there's going to be personality differences and tempers may get hot, and that's why we have Robert's Rules. That's what I know.
Yeah, well, they're not meant to quash good debate.
There's a difference between debate and disruptiveness, and there is, I want to call a question and take the vote, and we can continue discussion. Vicki?
Hiesmo.
Yes.
Pleshnik.
Yes.
Fellows.
Yes.
Fabig.
No.
Hallam.
No.
Lenz.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
The motion to override the mayor's veto of Ordinance 2018-41 has passed.
Madam President, may I please be excused?
Yes, you may. Thank you, Laura.
Madam President, now that Councilwoman Lenz can continue on to work, thank you so much for sacrificing a big part of your day. I do want to express a few thoughts as well. Out of deference to my colleague, I waited to this point. But first and foremost, seconding what Councilwoman Pigemot said, the timeline here, and seconding what Councilwoman Micah said, the timeline here is clear. These amendments are in response to serious issues that Council's been forced to deal with because of, frankly, in large part, difficulties on the part of the administration. And to say that we should wait to clarify the charter to make it absolutely obvious to anyone reading it that Council has the authority to hire attorneys to represent the city is ludicrous. We've been in situations where the mayor has fired attorneys that Council has hired, leaving the city unrepresented by legal counsel, where the city is on the hook for hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of dollars, talking about the issues before the State Employee Relations Board and CERB, where the mayor's own secretary and her union are suing the city to take back 9% raised jobs with back pay. This is enormous amounts of money. Now, there are people on both sides of that issue, how they think it should be resolved. Obviously, the secretaries want the money, and the city is trying to defend its interests so that we can continue to repave roads and employ our police and fire departments and balance our budget. So there are differences of opinion there, and people are entitled to them. But the city is entitled to a defense. The taxpayer is entitled to a lawyer. And the fact that we even have the issue of Willoughby Hills potentially going into court without an attorney representing it, that's unacceptable. That is an emergency, and it needed to be resolved. And by the way, to Councilman Helm's point, the judge ruled on the charter. He said, as I interpret your current charter, you cannot hire an attorney for this purpose, or you cannot, as mayor or as council, by yourself hire an acting law director. Fair enough, but it's not illegal to amend and clarify the charter to say, actually, no, this is how you would hire an attorney to represent the city. This is how you would hire an acting law director. It's perfectly legal. And if the same judge were to get the same case again with a different charter, which spelled it out in those terms, that judge would say, well, that's absolutely fine. Because he ruled based on the charter. The problem was the charter was ambiguous. The mayor said the charter means I can appoint an acting law director and any lawyers I want, no one else. Council said we can appoint an acting law director. The judge came back and said, no, I've got a third opinion. When you have three different sides with three different opinions, that's your first show that there is a serious ambiguity. And I don't think any of us, if we sat back and thought about it objectively, would say the city of Willoughby Hills should ever be in a position where it is in court unrepresented by an attorney. That is unacceptable. That needs to be resolved. And residents have a right to vote on that. Do we want to be sued over and over again by our mayor while he refuses to hire attorneys to respond to those lawsuits? Is that what we want as a city? And if people say yes, then they can vote that charter amendment down if they want to be sued without lawyers representing them. On the other hand, if they want attorneys defending them so that they won't have default judgments potentially in the millions of dollars against the city, which means higher taxes and less services, then they would vote yes. I want to make it clear that my city will always be represented. And as to the process, the only reason we're working on this timeline is because of the Board of Elections, the necessity to get these to the Board of Elections in time so that the voters will have a choice. We could debate this for months and then put it on the ballot the day before the election. Well, guess what? It won't be on the ballot. And then the voters don't have a choice. That's not fair to them to say, let's wait an entire year to hire an attorney to defend you as the city in court. As to other amendments, anyone who says we should not prohibit elected officials at this dais from hiring their friends and family or appointing them to city commissions, I don't even know how you begin to defend that. But I will tell you, it's eminently concerning to me that the last time we had a charter review commission and had this process, the chair of it just so happened, that the mayor appointed, just so happened to be his next door neighbor. And one of the members of the commission just so happened to be related to one of the council people who was involved in a scandal because his brother was a city prosecutor and their parents' company were taking city city contracts and projects. I mean, that is nepotism squared. When you call a charter review commission chaired by your next door neighbor with a cousin of a council person to talk about nepotism, that's not fair. Now, most residents didn't know that that was the case. Maybe the people in the crowd didn't know that was the case. But that wasn't right, it wasn't an open process, and it wasn't fair. There were three public hearings last time, there'll be four this time. This will be a more open process. This will have a more opportunity for residents to weigh in on the important issue of whether we vote for the amendment or not. Changing one or two words in an amendment is not as important as the fundamental ability to vote yes or no. Should elected officials be able to hire family members? And you might be sitting back saying, well, no one was seriously defending nepotism. Well, yes, they were. You can go back in the minutes of a council meeting where one person talking about the charter issue said, nepotism is not a dirty word anymore. Nepotism is a good thing. When you hire strangers, you don't know if they'll do a good job, but if you hire family, they'll do the job better and cheaper. And by the way, this person was an officer of the city, was a commission member. His sister was hired as an employee, and his nephew was hired. And he sold items to the city. Now, I'm not stating this person's name because I don't want to attack anyone. I'm not trying to criticize someone. And I'm sure that person didn't believe what they were doing was wrong. I'll take them at their word. They thought nepotism and hiring family members was fair and right and just and good. Well, respectfully, I disagree. So does the majority of American law and jurisprudence. And I suspect that most residents, when they're given the question on the ballot, should we prohibit elected officials from hiring family? I just strongly suspect their answer will be yes. And I look forward to talking about each and every one of these amendments in depth and detail. But to say that we didn't go through a process simply means you skipped the meeting or you didn't pay attention. The reality is the Charter of Willoughby Hills does provide for three ways to amend itself. And although the mayor has appointed many charter review commissions himself, I believe he's appointed commissions three times that ultimately put forth ballot amendments twice. They've never proposed amending that section. If the mayor believed it was inappropriate for council to propose ballot amendments, charter amendments, then his charter review commission should have discussed the issue, should have proposed an amendment themselves. They didn't. So we can only take it to mean that they believed that it was appropriate to leave that power in the charter for instances just such as this, where we, at a public committee meeting, introduced and discussed the amendments. No one proposed any changes to them. But the opportunity was certainly there. And now we're in our third public meeting discussing these amendments on the heels of four town hall meetings where everyone will have a chance to weigh in. I understand that it's difficult for some people to take time out of their summer vacation and come to meetings and do the job, but that's the job that we signed up for. And I'm proud of the people that took the time to come out to do the work so that our city would be represented, so that we wouldn't have default judgments against us. You know, for those who don't do the work, it's easy to criticize. But for those who do, we recognize, having lived through this, the need to have attorneys representing the city. The need to explicitly say, no, you cannot hire your cousin, your relative, your family member. The need to say to the mayor, you need to give us the budget early so that we can have a serious three-reading discussion on the most important legislation that we vote on every year, where the council spends $14 million. Those things need to be done. But ultimately, as residents, each of us get one vote, and I hope that the people who haven't paid attention to this point on council will start paying attention now, because each of us as a resident will have one vote and one opportunity to express ourselves. And I, for one, want to reform our charter to make it harder for the mayor to sue us to ensure that the city is defended. But if somebody wants the mayor to sue the city over and over again and the city to be helpless, then they can vote the other way. I think it's a pretty clear case, and I think that's why the mayor is so concerned. I think he knows that the people of Willoughby Hills are tired of his lawsuits. Thank you.
Madam President, I just want to follow up on Councilwoman Micah's point about dissent, and that what happened at the last council meeting had nothing to do with dissent, but everything to do with the lack of order and the lack of following the rules of council and the lack of respect for our colleagues here. And that it's very important that we have dissent. I think I value dissent highly personally. If I was the only person who felt the way that I do about the issues that we face, I would also be speaking up and having a debate with my colleagues, and even if it was difficult and But we have the responsibility to respect each other. We have the responsibility to follow the rules. We have a responsibility to keep our emotions in check enough that we can have a discussion, a respectful discussion. But what happened last time was really tragic in a way, because it prevented us from having that substantive discussion. The whole discussion was about the intent of council as a body, whether council was, you know, doing something wrong because they proposed that someone proposed these charter amendments, that someone wrote them, that someone, you know, that the timeline was short. I mean, that's all we focused on, and we never got to each amendment. We never got to the value of the amendments and what they could do for our city and whether those are right or wrong. And so I'm excited about the town hall meetings when we'll have that opportunity, and I really hope from this point forward we can discuss the substance of these amendments and whether we agree with them or disagree with them, rather than the intent of anyone in putting them forward, because anyone can attack anyone's intent. You don't say my intent was to do something wrong. I mean, anyone, you can look at any fact. Anyone can look at anything. If you don't like that person, you can find something to hate about them. You can find some reason to think what they're trying to do is wrong, because it's not crystal clear what someone's intent is. So that doesn't, just because you don't like it, doesn't mean there was something wrong in its presentation. Doesn't mean there's something wrong in it. It just means you might disagree. And that's perfectly fine, perfectly acceptable. And I think each of us has a duty to explain what our issues are with the substance of the matters in front of us.
Madam President, from what I'm listening to, the discussion, we never got to discuss each of the amendments in the last council meeting, where I was asked, by the way, what would be my availability the week of the 13th, and I said I'd be taking my son to college, so it was hardly a summer vacation, but that is why I was not present for that meeting. But we didn't get to discuss each of those amendments on their merits. That's disturbing that would be brought up right now, because that should be the process. As I stated, I don't want to reiterate again, but the process should be slow, deliberative, and it should be discussing the merits of each of these amendments.
I'm not cutting you off, but I do want to say each one of the amendments was highlighted. Just to say that we didn't go through them at all is not totally true. We did go through each one of them and highlight what it was. So
I'm just highlighting what Councilwoman Pismo just said a moment ago. I'll be brief because, yes, I know everyone has to get to work. But just a couple of points that were brought up. Nepotism is not your next-door neighbor. Nepotism is your family. Serious discussion about doing three readings on the budget. I mean, that's one of the most important things, yet we did not do this as a council. We did not do three readings on this, which changes the fabric of our charter. So that is where, that's the problem. And I think it's a legitimate problem that, in your own words, Councilman Plechnik, you said we should have three readings on the budget. We did not have three readings on these nine recess amendments to the charter. So I do believe it goes too far. Thank you.
Madam President?
Madam President, may I? One more point. There was mention of default judgment, and if there's been some information regarding something that has not been distributed, I'd like to know what that is.
Madam President?
To
Dave Fiebigs, to Councilman Fiebigs' last question about default judgments, he should know better than anyone that the mayor, shortly after firing Attorney Joe Gross, the incoming president of the Cleveland Metropolitan Bar Association, as the attorney representing the city in the labor dispute, where the Secretary's Union is suing the city for their positions and back pay, that the mayor said he would handle the case going forward, and as of the deadline for the response of the city to the unfair labor practice, the mayor didn't respond. And to Councilman Fiebig's credit, he called the State Employee Relations Board. He found that the mayor was derelict in his duty, and he asked for an extension so that the city would not be in a default judgment, because the policy and procedure of CERB is that if the employer doesn't respond, all allegations in the unfair labor practice are taken as true, which of course means the city loses in default. So to Councilman Fiebig's credit, he was able to stop the mayor's dereliction of duty in that case and avoid a default judgment against the city. But you know what? To rely on a council person happening to call before the deadline passes, as opposed to having an attorney who knows the deadlines, who's representing the city, who's being updated as the city's official representative by CERB, that's a poor substitute. I'm glad that Councilman Fiebig called at that time and that the city did not lose by default. But the reality is, 99 out of 100 times, the city would have lost at that point. And I can't help but think that that was the mayor's intention. But as Councilman Pijmo says, we can't know. Maybe he was, as he said, just incompetent. Maybe he truly just forgot to respond to what might have been a multi-million dollar judgment. But whether the mayor forgot or the mayor intended to throw the case is really beside the point. What's important is we had a great lawyer representing the city who would have never allowed a default judgment in that case, and the mayor fired him. And under the ambiguous state of our charter right now, we don't know for sure who has the authority to hire attorneys and when. That has to be resolved. That has to be resolved.
Madam President,
I'm not done. I would also say, as to three readings can be waived when there's exigency. And having a mayor repeatedly suing your city, having city employees, past and present, repeatedly suing the city with an inability to hire counsel to represent you is the highest exigency. The city could go bankrupt, frankly, from one lawsuit. It has happened. Cities have gone bankrupt from one lawsuit, and the city would be irresponsible to ever be in a position where we're not represented. That's the highest exigency. I'd also note that the last Charter Review Commission, which is often noted, was not just chaired by the mayor's next-door neighbor. As I shared before, a cousin of a council person was on that commission. That is nepotism. That is family. And the fact that that Charter Review Commission was called to look at issues of nepotism when a cousin was appointed to the commission is just doubly troubling. I would also say that the last Charter Review Commission did not have the charter amendments go through three readings. Remember that the Charter Review Commission does not actually put amendments on the ballot. By law, council has to vote to put those amendments on the ballot. And the three-reading rule was waived then. I didn't see the mayor complaining about that. Now, the ballot language, which is in many ways, if not the most important, one of the most important parts of the legislation, because it's what voters see the most often. It's what they see in the ballot when they check yes or no. The ballot language was never discussed at the Charter Review Commission. It was never voted on by the Charter Review Commission. One member of the Charter Review Commission, once again, the mayor's next-door neighbor, wrote the ballot language. And when it was submitted to the Board of Elections, the director at the time used a couple of choice words that I can't at this dais. It would violate Robert's rules. But that's how outraged the Board of Election was, particularly by the amendment with respect to nepotism that construed deleting all the restrictions in our charter on nepotism, restrictions that had been in place for decades since the founding of our city, when it was still a village. Those had been removed, waiving the three-reading rule, with no vote by the Charter Review Commission on the ballot language. The Board of Elections was outraged. That's not the process we're going to follow. That's not the process we followed. Council, as a public body, has voted not once now, but twice on the entirety of the charter amendments. We're not going to have three public hearings. We're going to have four. We've given more consideration to these issues and more open consideration than having our next-door neighbor write up a bunch of language and send it in the middle of the night to the Board of Elections. This is a completely different process, I agree. It's a better process. Now, would I like to have had more time? Yes. But there's not likely to be a primary next year, and unless if you want to pay for a special election, this is our last chance for a year to get amendments on the ballot. And given that the mayor has sued us multiple times and passed an present employees have sued us multiple times in the past year. I don't see how it's responsible to not address this problem for a year. Do you know how many lawsuits and how many judgments and how many defaults there could be in 1 year?
Madam President.
1 second, Councilman Fiebig. I want to read this, and I know I called you and discussed this, and I turned these over within a minute, with a day or two. So this was my rules meeting on August 13th, and one of the orders of business was the charter reform, an ordinance providing for the submission to the electors of the City of Willoughby Hills 9 proposed amendments to the charter to give residents and taxpayers the power and choice to reform and clarify their charter by affirmative vote and avoid future lawsuits against the city due to ambiguities. Recently, there has been interest in clarifying amendments in our charter. There are three approaches identified in our charter to address amending. 1, appointment of a charter review commission by the mayor for review and recommendations. 2, an initiative petition from a city resident. And 3, from city council. Councilman Hallam inquired if a law director should review this. The last time this occurred in the city, our law director then, Mr. Lobey, was not available. The chairman of the charter review commission and attorney, Mr. Gardner's questions for the ballot had to be modified by the Board of Elections and the council clerk. Vice President Pleshnik, in thinking about and preparing an amendment, he spoke to past Charter Review Commission members. Ambiguities were identified. It is critical to have a clear interpretation of the charter to not have future lawsuits. President Fellows, the former law director reminded council that they could always make changes at any time. And then Vice President Pleshnik, the attempt was to select things that were easy to do house cleaning. 1, proposed charter amendment. Everyone to be treated the same way when it comes to appointment and confirmation for the election for the selection of department heads. 2, concerning city boards and commissions, that there be a balance between city districts for representation. And as an example, currently all the members of the Planning and Zoning Commission reside on the east side of the city. And we all know the west side needs some representation. 3, to restore the charter standards concerning nepotism, putting our previous language back in, while the most recent change was to take the section out of the charter and follow how law home rule language can be more robust. 4, identifies removal process be the same for all officials and employees of the city. 5, will require the submission of an annual budget by the mayor 60 instead of 30 days prior to have the time fixed by general law for certification. 6, to ensure that critical employment vacancies can be filled. Example, when a department head resigns or steps down, then an acting department head may be placed until a permanent one is appointed and confirmed. 7, provides for consistent standards for placing questions on the ballot. 8, prohibits costly special elections in agreement with the mayor and no less than 4 members of council. And the last, addresses terms of office for department heads, reviewed how other cities manage this. This would provide for appointment or reappointment and confirmation of a department head each mayoral election, not just log rolling, and we should all be accountable. Believe the amendments to be modest. Ultimately, what do the residents want and the voters think? Councilwoman Pismo, the focus is on the resident and the taxpayer. This is meant for the mayor and council to work together on issues and for the amendments to provide clear rules and boundaries. The mayor, is this presentation in line with what was presented from the 2015 Charter Review Commission? The response was yes. A couple other thoughts before I get to Councilman Fiebig. So one of the reasons that the mayor vetoed this was because he said it, or whomever said it or wrote it, said that it was immoral that we didn't have due process. That action was put into the last charter review. So for how many years has the city been in existence? We must have been acting immorally, because we were able to have due process, and that can be approached in many forms, not just as the way it was written the last time. The other thing I had another point too, and I forgot, but I do want to tag on to Vice President Pleshnik. The Board of Elections has worked with us
None of this is illegal, and I find it disrespectful when people say in text and social media that it is. And the Board of Elections is not happy with this information that's out in the public because it begins to reflect badly on them, and they are above the law. So if people are saying that the Board of Elections did something illegal or that we did something illegal with them, I would certainly hope that at this point they would stop because it's false, untrue, disrespectful, and unnecessary. Councilman Fiebig.
Madam President, the question came up of who wrote the ballot language, and I don't know if that was answered.
So I don't know how many times I have responded to this question about this and about ordinances. And this is what I have been responding to, that all of us at this dais, including the mayor, has the privilege and the authority to bring information to the council clerk for ordinances and resolutions to be drafted and created. And you yourself know this, Mr. Fee, because you have done this in the past. I have been attacked for using the word all. I have been told in social media and in texts that we are violating the Sunshine Law. I do not mean all in the sense that we are all together in one room as a body. All means any. It doesn't necessarily mean a body of people. It means an individual. I say any and all is that any council member and the mayor has the privilege to bring this to the clerk and me. And it's not, in my opinion, not the issue of who wrote it or who brought the information. The issue is, what is it? And where's the value to it? And how important is it? And what should we act on or not? I don't know why individuals keep coming after us and me to say that I am violating sunshine laws. I have been on council for 17 years. I know what the sunshine laws are, as I believe everybody at this table does. We do not violate sunshine laws. I know what they are. We know what they are. We would not do that. It's a violation of what we're supposed to do. And Judge Fury even said in his judgment that he did not see any indication that any of us are violating sunshine laws. So I would really appreciate it if people could quit beating that dead horse.
Madam President.
Madam President, just to follow up.
I do want to just...
The question, though, just, you know, it's a reasonable one to ask. And there's, you know...
We talked on the telephone, Dave. That's you okay. And I talked on the telephone. I shared with you, because I try to stay in contact with you, that council members had come to me one-on-one and indicated that they had some thoughts that they'd like to bring forth with charter amendments. I shared at that time, I think, 4. I don't recall exactly. You did at the time, as I recall, said that they were okay, but you were concerned about the timing process.
Correct. The other important point that was brought up here is about a law director and... where are we in that process? I mean, we have a special meeting. We have an opportunity to address the law director in confirmation at this time.
I have had information brought to me that doesn't substantiate a majority of council to move forward with the law director at this time.
If you could share that, I'd appreciate it. And I also don't have any report about where we are with negotiations with the union and that. I have not heard anything regarding that. So if you have any information on that.
Madam President,
sure.
If I may, as our dean always says, first understand, then seek to be understood. First listen, then speak. Mr. Fiebig, the question that you asked, who wrote the charter amendments, and I know that Mr. Hallam has asked that question as well.
Actually, it was the ballot language.
Or ballot language.
Very specific, because you brought that
regardless, up. Regardless, has already been answered. Council President Fellows, in reading her minutes, explained that I took an initial draft and submitted it to the clerk, that I spoke to Charter Review Commission members, and I asked them, what ambiguities do you see? What problems could we solve? And I drafted it, sent it to the clerk, who obviously made her changes. And my understanding is the council president may have talked with her as well. I'm not sure exactly how every change was made, but we all received the final product that we had a chance to review and debate and talk about at meetings that some of us came to and attended, some of us didn't. But the bottom line is, if you had listened to our council president, you would have heard how the charter amendments were drafted. And I think that that's important, that at these meetings we not only do the bare minimum of following Robert's rules, but that we actually listen to our colleagues, because a lot of our questions are answered if we come to meetings and if we listen and if we're thoughtful. Now, as to the issue of the union, we should have an attorney representing us. That's one of the big reasons behind these charter amendments, because then we would have updates from that attorney. Unfortunately, the mayor chose to fire that person, and under the charter as it's currently drafted, it's unclear whether he can or he can't. And Mr. Gross said, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this uncertainty. We need an unambiguous charter so that we can hire an attorney and that attorney can have confidence that they are acting in their legal capacity and that they will be paid. And anyone who says the city shouldn't be represented, so that we all, as a public, as a council, can get those updates in a regular fashion, professionally, I don't think they understand the seriousness of litigation and how the city is put at risk if they don't think that that's important and a matter of exigency that needs to be addressed now. We can have all the process in the world, but if we don't respond to a multi-million-dollar claim, there is no city of Willoughby Hills, and we can't afford to have that. That's not responsible. If someone says, you know, there's a bear running at you, you say, well, you know, let's talk about the bear for a while. You run. I always remember when my father and I were cutting some limbs off a tree.
Can we limit
really
this?
Tall tree. Mr. Fiebig, could you please follow Robert's rules of order? My father was cutting down limbs off a tree, very tall oak tree, Civil War era, and he said, run. He was in the tree, I was on the ground. I didn't say, Father, let's talk about this. I ran. That ladder fell so hard, it buried itself in the ground. I wouldn't be here talking to you right now if I didn't respond to an immediate threat. And when someone sues the city over and over and over again, when we don't have a clear path to legal representation, that is a clear and immediate threat to our residents, our taxpayers, and the public fisc. And maybe a non-lawyer doesn't recognize that, but I think most people do, whether they're a lawyer or not. Losing millions of dollars in a default judgment is a serious risk. And we came this close to it, Mr. Fiebig. Thankfully, you called in. Thankfully, the city didn't lose in default. But there's no guarantee that we'll catch it next time. You said yourself, you don't know where we are with the union. For all you know, we're approaching another deadline that the mayor won't respond to. We can't afford to be in that position going forward, and the residents have a right to vote on it. Thank you.
And Mr. Phoebe, at the hearing, you were commended for your actions, and they would have liked to have been there for you to say that, but we spelled it out for them. Also, another point, the Board of Elections has indicated that the questions to our amendment changes are excellent, and that usually doesn't happen. They usually has to go back and have something changed.
Madam President.
Mr. Hallam.
Just a few points from some of the things that were said by council, some of the council members. First of all, there's a lot of comments about exigency, and my concern is that, in my opinion, council created the exigency by not confirming a law director, by first removing the previous law director, but then further by turning down one and having two still sitting in limbo. And hiring attorneys, in my opinion, is an administrative function and not a legislative function. So to put that in our hands, I don't think is what is proper, in my opinion. Also, you know, there was a comment about there's going to be four town halls to discuss this, and there was also a comment about there was no three reading rule on the previous charter review amendments. However, you know, people on the charter review, the mayor didn't complain about the third reading last time because there was a proper process. And then there was also a comment about the people on the charter review being related and nepotism, all this kind of stuff that is unrelated, in my opinion, to how people vote. People still read the amendment. They still read the ballot language, and they determined what they felt was right. So that's it. I just felt that there's as everyone has said, there's different opinions how you can see things, and not one is necessarily right over the other.
Mr. Hallam, this council did not remove Mr. Lobey.
Yes, it did.
This council did not vote to remove Mr. Lobey.
Let's just keep it being honest.
This council did not vote to remove Mr.
You're right.
Lobey.
They didn't
we have
vote, but
a letter of resignation
out.
From that gentleman.
Right, because we forced him out.
That
opinion.
Is
I'm
an opinion, and this
That's
council
right.
did not vote to remove Mr. Lobey.
It's an informed opinion, but it is an opinion. You're right.
It's your opinion.
That's right. That's what I said.
Also,
but it's not my opinion.
Council,
it has not
wait,
been
wait, wait, wait,
on.
Wait. Council, as exercising due process by the charter, as they are allowed to submit charter amendments per the charter. Do you disagree with the charter, Mr. Hallam?
What I disagree with is not engaging our public before we come to with a final version and push it through and come to a rules meeting and expect somebody who just was handed this thing to know all the questions and have time to review it and ask legitimate questions. And then the following meeting when you actually have an opportunity, but it's too late because everybody's going to push it through. We're going to waive the two-day reading rule. We're going to waive the three-reading rule. We're going to push this through and get it on the ballot because it's important for the people to vote. Yes, I agree 100% it is important for people to vote. But I also agree that it is important and it is part of our society to allow people to have a voice in changing of laws and especially our charter, which is our constitution, to have that done, that these amendments come out without so much as a real opportunity for people to hear in commission meetings and committee meetings and understand and be able to give input before it's created, as is normally the process. I just think it's not the right process to follow. I don't think it was a good way of bringing this forward. So you can disagree with me. That's okay. That's fine. You have an opinion, and you feel like what you did was fine. I don't tend to agree with that. I think that we should have allowed the public way earlier to have input and understand these things were coming instead of just being slapped in front of us at a meeting and then pushed through 4 days later.
The public also vote on us to represent them.
Well,
and I've had residents call me as the council president sharing their concern on how you represent them, and they're not happy about it.
Well,
I've asked them to contact you.
Well, none of them have. In fact, I've had more people contact me thanking me.
Well,
and no one contacting me saying otherwise.
I'm just sharing.
Oh, that's fine.
Madam
President. I'm sharing, too. And in fact, I've been receiving letters thanking me.
I'd like to see them, if you don't mind.
I'll be happy to.
Thank you.
Happy to.
Madam President, I was just going to bring up something along the lines of what you just said. Something I don't think is brought up very often in our meetings is that here we sit and we are all elected officials, and our job is to represent our residents. So if you look on a larger governmental level, say the state representatives, I'm not in touch with my state representatives all the time, and I'm not going to their meetings in Columbus because I voted, I trust them, and I get newsletters, and I try to keep up somewhat, but I have given over my vote to them and trusting that they're going to represent me in the affairs of the state, whatever their job is day to day in the government. So here we are on a smaller city, municipal level, but the idea is the same. We have the privilege of being very face-to-face with our residents and neighbors in a way that maybe they can't on a state and federal level. But the basic idea is that the residents don't have to be monitoring us day by day and calling us and emailing us, because they have a certain degree of trust that we're doing our job. And if they don't, and if I don't like anything that my state rep or other elected official is doing, I fight back with my vote. That is my privilege. I either vote to keep somebody I like in or put somebody I like in, or I vote no to take them out or choose somebody else. And that is the basics of government 101. That's why we live in a free country, and I assume we all like that system and respect that system. So if in response to these situations that keep happening over and over and over since I've been on council, you know, if this council chose to respond to those as an emergency by getting things on the ballot, then that is our prerogative and that is our job to do something in response to things that are happening. Because as Council President read in her rules minutes, because of ambiguities in our charter. For example, that recall issue came to the forefront, and you can thank Mr. Miller for bringing it to the forefront, because he brought up a recall petition. And I'm not sure if I'm saying this correctly, but there was two different versions of a percentage of signatures that were needed to put a recall or to fulfill that recall petition. And the two numbers, one was in the charter, one may have been somewhere else, they didn't line up. So why would we have an ambiguity like that in our charter? It's either 25% of people that voted in the last election, or it's 25% of every person that's registered to vote in the city. We did not come up with that number just to be mean and punitive and make the process difficult. We wanted to clarify something that wasn't clear. It was more than unclear. It was two different numbers and two different descriptions in two different places. This happens a lot with a village that has become a city. Sometimes you need to go back and you need to clarify the language, whether it be the charter or an ordinance or a street sign. You need to periodically do house cleaning, cleanup, and nowhere has this been made more clear to council than seeing all the little loopholes or ambiguities that have allowed the city to be sued repeatedly over this past year and a half. So it is an emergency. That is not a casual little stroll that we're just choosing to put some charter amendments on the ballot. It needs exigency. I don't want to wait a year. I don't want to go through another year like the year we just went through. Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes, President.
Given that the topic of today's meeting was overriding the mayor's veto, I'm disappointed that Mayor Wager was unable to join us. Once again, I understand that everyone has families and jobs and obligations, but if you want to be the mayor of Willoughby Hills or if you want to be a member of council, you need to find a way to prioritize coming to these meetings, because this is when we come into the sunshine, we discuss with our residents, and we make the decisions on their behalf as their representative. So there really is no excuse for not coming. There's always one or two instances in life that may block you, but I think I've missed a grand total of two regular and special meetings since I took office, and I've noted the mayor's missed a lot more than two since he took office, particularly when he is the center of attention. This meeting is about him. In fact, I regret we even had to call this meeting. If the mayor had worked cooperatively and had signed on to the charter amendments and had talked with us, then we wouldn't have to override his veto. But because he chose to do so, this meeting was called, and he didn't even decide to grace us with his presence today. But I do want to go through his veto memo really briefly, because the mayor's voice should be heard, and we should understand his objections and why council in due consideration doesn't agree with them, at least why I don't agree with them. The mayor firstly starts off by saying that if council proceeds to put charter amendments on the ballot, he will remove us all. Because he says, under Section 9.31 of the Charter, he has the powers of a dictator and has the ability to unilaterally remove, and I'm quoting the mayor now, without due process, quote-unquote, without due process, every other elected official in the city. That is beyond ridiculous. Even if our charter had a crazy statement like, the mayor of Willoughby Hills may murder residents with impunity, or the mayor may remove every elected official in the city unilaterally without due process. Now, our charter doesn't say that, but let's say that it did. It would violate Ohio and federal law. Dictatorships have never been legal in the United States. In fact, it's kind of why the United States exists. We don't allow a king, a tyrant, a dictator to control all branches of government. This is basic separation of powers. The council is the legislative branch. The mayor is the executive branch of the city of Willoughby Hills. In fact, the charter says so. Beyond that, the mayor chose to read one provision of the charter without reading the very next one. Right after 9.31 is 9.32. And the language in that provision was actually passed by the Mayor's Charter Review Commission in 2015, so he should be very familiar with it, where it says, Council shall be the judge of its members and qualifications. The judge, not one of many judges, not one judge sitting next to the mayor, the judge. And if and to the extent 9.32 and 9.31 were to conflict, as the more recent amendment, 9.32 controls. There's really no debate here. It would be ludicrous to suggest that the mayor can just by fiat remove council members. He would be a dictator in that point because he would control all branches of government. It's clearly not legal. And I frankly don't think the mayor believes it. If he did believe it, though, it would be a real question as to his ability to serve. But I think it was more of a threat. I really think that the mayor saying, if you vote for something I disagree with, that I acknowledge you have the legal right to vote for, but if you disagree with me, I'll remove you. That's a terroristic threat. You call up Congress members and tell them, if you vote for this, I'm going to get you. I'm going to fire you. I'm going to persecute you. I'm going to remove you. See how long it takes for the FBI to knock on your door. Can't do it. You cannot threaten legislators of a public body to vote the way you want. Now, you can express your disagreement. You can say they're terrorists. Terrible people. I hope you don't. I hope instead you focus on the issue and criticize it as it is. But you can't make terroristic threats to try to bully people into voting the way that you want. That in itself is very likely a crime and very concerning that the mayor would do so. I put the mayor on formal notice that if he truly believes that he has dictatorial powers, that he's demonstrated lack of capacity and inability to serve, and he's not even the mayor. So the irony is, if you believe you can remove every other elected official, you've removed yourself from office. But as I said, I think this was more along the lines of a threat, and I think it's unfortunate that instead of coming here to debate and talk with us, share his perspective on each amendment and why he thinks residents should vote for one or not for another. Instead, he chose to threaten council. And I certainly am waiting for the mayor's apology. I hope that in good faith he'll give it. But let's look at his charter amendments. So, yes, Madam President?
Excuse me. I do need to leave. So I'm going to give the gavel to Vice President Pleshnik to finish the meeting. We do need to have a public portion, John.
Well, Madam President, given that you're leaving, it would be inconvenient to pass the gavel further, so I will refrain from making further comments, but I will immediately, taking the gavel now, open public portion at 9:37 p.m. so that the public has an opportunity to speak. You have 3 minutes. Please state your name and address for the record if you choose to speak.
Vicki Miller, 2857 Hayes Drive. Wow, I don't even really know where to begin after listening to everybody this morning. But I do not feel that the mayor is trying to dictate anything here. Everybody should be looking out for the residents of this community. I just want to speak to the fact that we need to, as residents, become informed, do our homework, fact check, and I am one that is doing that. I have been talking to neighbors, I've been talking to community members, and I hope you guys do really realize that there is a great majority of the public who are opening their eyes and seeing things and asking questions of your intent and what is going on in these council chambers, and I'm just hoping that people will understand and come out to these meetings for the amendments to really see, in fact, that I just hope that your motives are pure in this. I cannot say for, you know, what you are actually thinking in this, but I'm sure hoping people will become educated and make use of these town hall meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Anyone else for public portion?
Chris Welsh, 38801 Chardon Road. Somebody on council said a few months ago, if anybody in the public could do a better job, they're more than welcome to try. The last person that sat over here lasted about 3 minutes. It's not as easy as everyone thinks it is. If all seven of you agreed, it wouldn't be a democracy. There's going to be disagreement, but agree to disagree. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Welsh. Anyone else for public portion? Seeing none, I will close public portion at 9:40 p.m.
Move to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion to adjourn in a second. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bismo.
Yes.
Bushnick.
Yes.
Bellows. Whoops.
Yes.
Fiebig.
Yes.
Hollum.
Yes.
Micah.
Yes.
Yes. The motion passes, and the meeting is adjourned at 9:41 p.m.
Sorry. She stole my pen, didn't she?